Hello there, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass. This is Fabienne Fredrickson, millionaire business mentor and founder of both ClientAttraction.com and AttractClients.com, where you can receive your free audio CD, How to Attract All the Clients You Need at No Charge. It's my treat. Again, that's AttractClients.com, and welcome to the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass. To reach that next bigger level of greatness and professional success, you must be willing to step outside of your existing comfort zone and make the changes that seem to threaten your safe way of being, knowing that you are always safe anyway. There is no other way to jump from your current small fishbowl into that bigger fishbowl or the ocean that awaits you. Through these classes and the conversations I share with my guests who are all playing their own bigger game, the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass is focused 100% on you finding the inspiration, courage, and personal best practices to do the same. Consider it a required curriculum for success.
My guest expert today is Gail Kingsbury. Gail is a 25-year veteran of the personal development event industry, pioneering many of the most popular seminar series in history. Her Rolodex reads better than a who's who directory, and her respect in the industry is unparalleled. Gail is bringing her vast knowledge and contacts to her clients and helps authors and experts create platforms to deliver their message to their perfect audiences. Welcome, Gail.
Thanks for having me.
I'm happy that you're here. We're going to be talking about playing a big game today. And before we get to that, I always like asking our guests, experts, what is it that made you create the business that you have today? What was the trajectory? How did you get to doing what you're doing today?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been really fortunate in my career, having the opportunity to work with, you know, the best of the best in our industry. And I had started out working with Brian Tracy through, you know, a friend. And then when I left Brian, I went to work for Tony Robbins. And then I moved on from Tony to work with a gentleman named Bob Allen. Mm-hmm. When I left Bob Allen's company, I started my own company, and, you know, and they all helped me get that started. So, I mean, that's kind of how it all happened. Mm-hmm. There was really no advertising. There was, you know, it was just one of those things. It's like, okay, I'm going to start a speakers bureau. Great. How can we help? And off we went. But what I did was I did find what was missing in that bureau space for speakers bureaus, where, you know, at the time, you could go to a speakers bureau that was going to book you if you were a speaker. And you'd be put in a pile with, you know, 50,000 other possible mm-hmm. speakers, and they waited for the phone to ring, and then they threw out who they really liked. And, you know, more than half the time, you were never even a thought in their head. Mm-hmm. And so we just started doing something a little different. And I said, why don't I just take on a few clients and actually do their marketing? Because what I knew from the marketplace was that as a speaker, a lot of times what happens is you'll do your marketing, you'll fill your calendar, and then you'll be on the road speaking, 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 speaking. And then when you're done, you have to start all over again. So there was this big roller coaster that speakers were riding. And I said, well, if I just fill your marketing spots, then you can just keep doing what you do best. And it worked out really well.
Just show up and speak, right?
You're right. You show up and speak. I'll make the phone calls. I'll smile and dial. And, you know, we'll put you on stage. And it was a really great marriage, you know, with a handful of people. And then from there, you know, I would call places and, you know, Bell South would be like, well, that person's not great, but do you have somebody for this? And my speakers bureau just continued to grow from there and became one of the largest ones in North America.
And was there a defining moment, Gail, in your own process that made you think, you know, I can no longer afford to play small. I really have to go beyond and create something bigger. It seems to be this recurring theme that I hear where, you know, people play small, and then all of a sudden the opportunities show up and it's like, wow, I have to take this, you know, and I have to play bigger. Has that shown up in your life, or have you always played big?
Well, you know, I don't like to set limits, which is sometimes a blessing and a curse. Because you just keep going, and sometimes you actually do need to stop. But in my career, I think the defining moment for me that got me thinking even bigger and out of the box was someone coming to my door one day and saying, I have this new client, and I need to fill a stadium, and you have to help me. And, you know, at that point, I was like, well, I have all these speakers that I'm marketing. I do have some people on the phone. And there was just this shift in my head. It's like, either you take this now and grow, or you're going to be this little speakers bureau for the rest of your life. And is that enough? And for me, it was like, is that enough? But not for me. It wasn't a personal, is that enough? It's, are you helping enough people? Are you serving the way you can serve if you don't continue to grow?
I often talk about it with my students and clients. We talk about the moral, the divine duty to serve in a bigger way. And one of the things that I share with them, and I call it sharing your brownies, is that, you know, if you imagine baking up a tray of brownies and not sharing it with your friends and family in the other room, that you're being kind of stingy and greedy if you sit in the kitchen and eat all your brownies by yourself. And I equate that to these talents and skills and unique abilities that we are divinely given. And these life experiences that we have, both good and not so good, they make up who we are today. And it is to be of service, right? We are in the after of our before and after story, not just for the process of having gone through these experiences, but to translate them into being of service to others. And because I believe that these are divinely given, we can't hoard them. We can't be stingy and greedy with these. We must share them with others like we do sharing our brownies. And a lot of times I see people being, you know, stuck in this fork in the road that says, well, I could play bigger. But it might mean that there's some fear involved, and what if it doesn't work, and what will they think of me? Or maybe I just retreat to my old way of doing things because it's comfortable in the comfort zone.
Right, it's safe. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the things that came up for you, and how did you, you know, overcome the idea of, well, you know, I could just keep being this speakers bureau, nice going along kind of thing?
It really was, I think it really was almost that fast. It was, do I keep playing where I'm at, or do I take this opportunity to grow and help more people?
Mm-hmm.
And I had no clue exactly how we were going to be able to do it, but we did it. I looked at him and I said, okay, come to the office tomorrow and we'll figure it out. And that's what we did.
And so you were used to filling ballrooms, and now you're being asked to fill a stadium. And what's the difference in number of seats?
Well, you know, I hadn't at that point done all of the marketing. I'd done the event management for the people, for everybody that I'd worked with. So I'd done a small, my portion of filling the ballrooms was very small. But this person had a lot of experience in filling them. But he didn't know how to start from scratch with no list, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sat down and it was like, okay, well, I know how to cold call. Let's get a phone book. And back then we ordered yellow pages from the cities that we needed to go to.
Oh,
and we
gosh.
Literally sat down and started cold calling and testing. And we just figured it out. And we put almost 10,000 people in the first city.
I would love to be a fly on the wall to hear what you said when you cold called. Do you remember what you said when you were calling the people in the phone book?
Oh, man, we did. We used a couple of different options. You know, we called and told them that, you know, we were bringing President Reagan to town. We'd like to get a ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
we sent some salespeople into the city and called like the car dealerships and said, we'd like to do a free training for you. And if you like it, we have an event to send you to. And we figured out how to program our old fax machine. We got lists of fax numbers and we started faxing flyers and we started junk mail on the fax. We broke a lot of rules.
Yeah.
Figured it out.
As you're listening to this, guys, as you're listening to Gail, I want you to really notice how she did break a lot of rules. And she, Gail, you went beyond what was, it was a little bit rebellious, you know, to pick up the, you know, the phone book and just start dialing for dollars. And this reminds me of something that my friend John Asraf talks about. He talks, when he said this particular thing, it really kind of shot right into my heart. It was the way that I live my life. And he said, if you're interested, you do what's convenient. But if you're committed, you do whatever it takes. And I feel like in everything that you've just described to us, you were committed to, you know, filling that stadium. And so you did whatever it took, you know, cold calling, the fax machine, really just doing whatever it took. Have you always been wired that way?
I think so, pretty much.
And where does that come from, that doing whatever it takes mindset? Did that come from your parents, being in sports? I'd love to get into the psychology of that.
It definitely came from my parents. They were always, whatever it took kind of people. It's like, we're going to go on vacation. Okay, let's do it. Let's get in the car and go. What's it going to look like? I don't know. Let's just take an adventure and, you know, drive from Denver to California in the, you know, early 70s. And my mom was always there, you know, helping people, and we always had, you know, some extra person staying at our house for some reason, and even now, like your brownie example really hits home with me, because my youngest daughter loves to make brownies, and we're at this point now, it's like, when I go and buy brownie mix, I always get two, and she never makes one pan of brownies, because it's not enough to share.
I love it.
You know? So that's just kind of how we are.
Yeah, I feel like it did trickle down from your parents. It's this sense of adventure. What I'm hearing is that you just bypassed fear, and when instead of looking at it as this is a fearful unknown, what if it doesn't work? You kind of just stepped over that and said, no, this is an adventure. This is going to be fun.
Yeah,
it's going to be a roller coaster.
It's kind of like, but what if it does? Not what if it doesn't work out, but what if it does? Like, how cool is that going to be?
Do you spend time consciously thinking about imagining what would happen if it did work?
Actually, not if it did. I consciously think about when it does. Big difference.
Say more about that, please.
If it did, is already in the past in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about all the great things that are going to happen when it does.
Mm.
So, for instance, you know, if we're doing it, if I'm working on a project, like I'm working on a really big project right now, and I have a partner in that project, and just last night it was like, well, what about this? What about this? And I said, well, what about 3 years from now when we're here? Oh, yeah, you're right. So what's it going to take us today to make sure that 3 years from now we're there? And then it makes it easier to look at those steps,
mm-hmm. So
instead
you project
of putting roadblocks in front of you all the time.
Yeah, it's almost like you're projecting into the future, picking that person up and just plopping them. Plopping is not a great word, but putting them 3 years later and say, for you to be here, what would need to have happened over the past 3 years for right. that to be a reality?
Exactly.
Is that what I'm hearing? Yeah. And,
that goes the same for, you know, if we're going to hit a bestseller list for a book, or we're just going to sell 100 books, whatever that might be, it's like, okay, so what did, you know, okay, when you hit that, what did we do to get there? Kyle Cease calls it collegling, I guess. You've got a whole process for this.
Tell me more about the process. I didn't hear the person's name.
Oh, Kyle Cease. He's created this process called collegling. And basically, you talk things through as if it happened. So you go to, you know, just, you know, do you remember when you and I had this great call and we were able to change the lives of so many people by giving them some information that really made a shift in their consciousness? That was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
As if the coolest thing ever has already happened, changes your mindset to figure out how you got there, and it helps you move things along quicker. It's just a weird freak of nature.
Yeah, every time I'm teaching about client attraction or about really just creating a life you love, I'm always speaking on two planes at the same time. The first one is the pragmatic, the practical, like how are we going to get there, and really imagining like the end. So that we know how to figure out how to get there, because I feel like you need to know what the end result is going to look like to be able to create it. So there's this part of how I'm wired that thinks about things in such a pragmatic, systematic way, and I teach from that. But there's the other exactly, you know, as big, the bigger the front, the bigger the back, as big part of me that believes that when you focus on the end result and put your energy and your vibration there, you set off these rockets of intention that, metaphysically speaking, law of attraction-y, you know, energy comes into it and makes it happen too. So on two levels, it works, not just on the pragmatic, like, okay, now we know what our steps are. We know what to do over the next 3 years, but we've already set the rocket of intention and put our energy in gratitude, and look, it's already done. So it's working on two planes, which I find fascinating always.
Yeah.
It's almost like
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So you have helped many, many people, and people, you know, household names, grow their businesses, multiply their businesses beyond what they had originally expected. You have nuggets within you of great advice, best practices when it comes to reaching new heights. What are some of the things that you believe to be true about multiplying your business and multiplying your reach and things that people aren't doing that they could be doing if they want to multiply?
I think one of the biggest pieces for me that I see and believe all the way down to the bottom of my toes is that you have to be doing it for the right reason. So if you're creating a business just so that you can make millions and there's no further intention behind it, you may reach that goal, but it won't last. And so there has to be some passion behind it, besides just the dollar signs.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are people who are passionate about money, and maybe the best thing for them to be doing is, you know, being a stockbroker or, you know, in the finance world where that is their passion and that is what they're doing. But I find in my business that because I work with speakers and people who are doing events and that kind of thing, that if they're speaking about something that they're on purpose for, and it doesn't matter, even if it's dental hygiene, right? If that's their topic and they're passionate about it, they will go to the top of their field and they'll stay there because it's what they love. It's because what they, what they're talking about, what they're teaching about, you know, they want to make that difference. They want people to have the right information. So I think it's really about being purposeful in your intention for the reason that you're in the business in the first place. You know, I mean, I've helped people who didn't want to have a huge company, but they were so purposeful in their intention of what they were teaching that that happened anyway. Because it was like a freight train you couldn't stop.
Mm-hmm. I believe, you know, that each one of us has a purpose, and that, again, it was given to you. It's not something you kind of come up with on your own. And this is my belief system. And that when you align your business with your purpose, with your passion, the thing that makes you passionate, that you would do all day long for free and put your head on the pillow and say, I did good work today. And when, if asked to do it again all day long for free, the next day you would say yes without resenting it. That thing, whatever that thing is for you, when you align your business with that thing and you learn how to monetize that, it's impossible for you not to be successful in your business. And for many reasons, I believe that, one, the first time that there is a roadblock or a speed bump in the road, your passion takes you over the speed bump, whereby somebody else might get stopped and say, this is too much work. It's because it's in you. You're passionate about it. You there is a big why around it. And that propels you, that pulls you into your future faster than anything else. Do you believe that too?
I totally agree.
And without that, it's very difficult to just keep going. I also believe you need to be really fascinated with the thing that you do. And not you, but the thing, right? So that you are fascinated by it, and you keep learning and you keep sharpening this on and going more vertical and becoming more masterful in that one thing rather than a jack of all trades. And when you do that, have you seen that with the people that you've worked with?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Without question. The ones that are the most successful feel exactly the same way. Sometimes it's funny, they don't even realize that that's their inner being. They're just doing it. And sometimes, you know, they know that that's completely their inner being and that's why they're doing it. But it always boils down to the same thing.
So it boils down to doing something for the right reason because you believe in it and because you're passionate about it. What about when there are tough times? Yeah, making your heart sing. What about when there are tough times where sometimes you question, is this really, why is this roadblock here? Why is this obstacle here? Why is this not going where I want it to be? What have you noticed happens? Why does that happen? And how does someone get past that?
Well, you know, that happens in every part of your life. It's like you're trying to get somewhere on time and then there's road construction. Mm-hmm. Why now? Why didn't I leave 5 minutes earlier? Why didn't I know that they were blocking off the road and I'd be sitting here for 20 minutes? It happens in every aspect of your life. But, like, I'm a mom, and so I equate things a lot to my kids because I learned so much from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the reason we have children is to remind us of all the things that we've forgotten. And, you know, I like to play and, you know, to eat spaghetti with your fingers, just things, you know?
Yeah.
But if they're having trouble, I would move mountains to fix it because I love them that much.
Mm.
And it's the same way with my business. If something's stopping me and it's in a portion of my business that really makes me feel icky anyway, I won't do whatever it takes to make it better. I'll go around it. I'll figure out a different avenue. I'll do something different. I'll be like, you know what? This just sucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe every door in this avenue has slammed shut because I'm not supposed to be doing that. So what if? And that's always a great question. What if? What if I do this instead? Will it get me to this, you know, will I end up at the same destination? Yeah, okay, great. Then let's go there. Like, you know, find the right path. And sometimes those roadblocks are set there to teach you a lesson and to put you on the right path to your destination.
Almost it's like a redirection.
Detour. Yeah, it's a detour.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe in that. I have a book that's coming out very shortly called Embrace Your Magnificence, How to Get Out of Your Own Way and Live a Richer, Fuller, More Abundant Life. And there is this piece, we were just looking at it this morning, about, you know, sometimes you want something so badly and you want it to look a certain way so badly, but that's not how it's intended for you. And
there's a friend of mine, Glenn Morshower. He's an actor and just brilliant philosopher, I think. And he does a talk about the whisper. We all have them. You know, that little thing in your head that you don't listen to that gets you in trouble, right? When you listen to your little voice that tells you, no, you really need to be doing this. Why are you pushing so hard over there? And you don't listen because somebody else told you that you had to be pushing over there, but you're not listening to that little piece of intuition, which maybe is, you know, more prominent in us women, but I've really trained myself to listen. When I don't listen is when I get in trouble. If I can't find the car keys in the morning, I'm trying to get the kids to school, I'd have to stop and say, okay, where are they? And then magically, I remember that they're in the pocket of the blue jeans I had on 3 days ago.
Yeah.
I just look up and say thank you. Like, I thank that whisper, you know, and it just keeps coming back and giving me the right direction. That might sound totally crazy, but...
No, I know, and it's actually in the exact same paragraph of the book that I was just saying, that I'm writing, in the exact same paragraph, I talk about the fact that we are always being guided. When we ask, we get guidance. Now, we can't get guidance without asking, and very few people ask. But when we do ask, we're always being guided, but are we listening? And
that's the big question.
That's the big question. Because as you just said, when you listen, you don't get in trouble. When you don't listen is when you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use this for business as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah, as do I. I think it's the trump card, the ace in someone's pocket, who is very successful, and on purpose, something they might not talk about, but I see a thread happening. I see this theme of people who are uber successful, who are playing a really big game, and everyone that I've talked to says yes. I allow myself to be guided, whatever they call it, whatever the coat looks like. It's still the same thing. And
right, absolutely. We all, you know, lots of people have different gateways to listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is another great practice. Thank you for sharing this. Mm-hmm. I have mantras in my life, personal mantras. One of them is a strong focus now creates a different future later. I believe in expecting great results no matter what you see in front of you, because I believe that the universe is rearranging itself for your best interest right now. Just stay patient. It's on its way. Little personal mantras for myself, and I've shared these with my students and my clients. I would love to know what a personal mantra is for you, something that you've always believed that helps guide you, it becomes your compass for how you live your life, how you live your business. Would you be willing to share one with us?
Sure. We're all in this together. And what that means for me is that it doesn't matter, you know, where you're going, what you're doing, whether it's in your life or your business, you have to remember that all of the people around you are in this life together with you. And it makes a big difference if you think about it that way and you say, you know, we're all in this together, so, you know, how can I help that person? Or what does that mean in this instance? Why are we all in this room together? Why are we all on this project together? You know, if you stop and think about it, you know, we are. It doesn't matter. Period, end of story. We are all in this together. Mm-hmm. It's one big soup, you know. And so we need to make it the best we can. And I think about, a lot of times I think about it, you know, as a tapestry. And the older I get, the closer to the center of that big, huge tapestry I seem to be getting. You know, the threads are getting tighter. The world is getting smaller as the people that I know and who knows who and what we're all doing and why we're in this together. But everybody plays the part somehow, some way. So you just need to think about that and then be kind about it. It's like, you know, somebody pisses you off, that's their story. We're all in this together, so let them have their day of anger and just move on.
I see. I'm sensing that you see an interconnectedness with everything there is.
I do. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
Great example, just real quick, is that growing up, and I don't know if you remember these, but there are these little statues called Precious Moments.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have a cool little saying at the bottom. They're these little, you know, little kids, and, you know, friendship is magnificent, or, you know, good friends is whatever. And I collected those as a kid, and I would cut them out of the newspaper and give them to friends for their birthdays and, you know, different things.
Mm-hmm.
So a few years ago, I go to this course called Lifebook,
mm-hmm,
and find out that the person who created Lifebook owns the company Precious Moments. It was this huge thing that hit me. It's like, wow, my whole life has come full circle. I've gone from quotes as a kid to personal development as the basis of my life, making people feel better, doing what I can to serve, and here I am, you know, with the owner of the company, and his, you know, his father is the designer of all of these things. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. Interconnectedness.
And you never know when it's going to happen. I mean, I literally sat in that course, and when I realized who it was, I just started bawling. It's like, wow, how does your life, you know, you just never know where it's going to come from and why things are the way they are.
And you know what's funny about this very moment right now is that I actually registered for Lifebook several months ago. For me and my husband, Derek, and we haven't taken it yet. And just this afternoon in my office, I was talking to our director of communications, and I said, I know there is a big shift happening for me, a paradigm shift, and I'm curious about the direction. And I said, you know what, I'll put it out there, and I'll just wait for the answer. And I went, the minute you just said this, Gail, I thought, well, there it is. That's my answer. I have to actually book the date because I know that that will help me create the some clarity about where to go. And then you just delivered the answer. How cool is that?
Yep. And it took me over a year to go. It was given to me as a gift.
Mm.
And I kept going, I don't have 4 days to spend out of my life with everything else going on.
Yeah.
And then I finally sucked it up and went, I'm like, oh, whoops.
Well, great, great, great. Well, thank you, Gail. This has been, I wish we could keep talking for hours. I feel very connected to you and what you share and what your beliefs are. And you've given us some really good nuggets, very zen, very, they're not complicated, and that's what makes them so zen yet so profound. And I know that some people listening to this will want to know more about you and know how to contact you, will you let them know about your business, how you do business now, and how to contact you or what your website is?
Yes, they can go to GailKingsburyGroup.com, which is GailKingsburyGroup.com, and everything's there. You can also go to Gail's Calendar, which we are creating to become kind of the one spot for all the personal and professional development events. If you want to know where Wayne Dyer's speaking or where the next internet marketing conference is going to be, everything's there. It doesn't cost anything to go and search and find, and you can register pretty much for anything you'd like there. And we're doing our best to create a space where you can just find everything in one place, just to serve people. So,
terrific. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your wisdom about what it takes to play bigger. And I'm sending you a big hug. And thanks, everybody, for being on the line. We'll see you next time.
Thanks
Bye.
So much.
If you're new to the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass, I'd like to make sure you know about the free audio CD available to you called How to Attract All the Clients You Need. It's full of immediately actionable, incredibly useful information to get you more clients in the next 90 days. There is no catch, no gimmick, no sales pitch. It's simply my way of saying thank you for tuning into this show. And yes, I am offering it to you at no charge. I even pay for the shipping anywhere in the world. All you do to get your free CD is go to attractclients.com and request it today. And if you liked today's episode of the Play a Bigger Game Masterclass, you can download or listen to other masterclasses from this show on iTunes or by going to iloveplayingabiggergame.com. If you have friends, colleagues, or clients who would benefit from playing a bigger game, pay it forward and share the love by letting them know about iloveplayingabiggergame.com. Again, thanks so much for joining us today. This is Fabienne Fredrickson sending you a big virtual hug. Mwah. Until next time, live life like you mean it. Bye, everybody.